Hello and what is up, Jets fans? We are back yet again for yet another episode of the Jets Stream. My name is Jesse Finver. With me, as always, is my co-host, my partner in crime, Connor Sheeran. Connor, how are we doing this week? How are we doing? Tough weekend.
Tough weekend. Took an L. Not an L we can feel good about.
No.
You're not supposed to feel good about an L, but at least you can feel better about one. We didn't.
Yeah. I mean, you can definitely feel better than we do about this one. I sound way too cheery for how I actually feel, honestly.
Let me tone it down a little bit.
Let me bring the energy down a couple of notches as I introduce our guest this week. But he deserves a lot of energy because he's the guy's a beast. Let's just be honest here. He edits all of our podcasts. He is our producer extraordinaire, Nick Zeraris. Nick, did I say your last name correctly?
Yes.
There?
Yes.
Let's go. Sometimes I just like, I second guess myself. I just wanted to make sure. Nick, thank you so much for being on the show, dude. We really appreciate it, especially since you were at the game on Sunday. Mm-hmm. You witnessed this atrocity. But we're not going to talk about the game yet, because we have some news that has occurred today, Wednesday. What is the date? I want to get this right. It is Wednesday, September 28th. Zach Wilson has been cleared to play football for the first time in way too long. Feels Joe Flacco has aged me. In 3 weeks, he's aged me what feels like years.
Nearly two months.
Yep. Thank God Zach Wilson is back. Now, those could be very famous last words there. But Connor, let me get your rapid reaction to Mr. Zach Wilson works too. The guy that is going to be playing quarterback for us this weekend, praise the Lord it happens. Zach Wilson.
I mean, there's no reason to not be excited / worried if you're a Jet fan. I mean, we sat here for 3 weeks and we watched Joe Flacco play, old man Joe, who,
oh my God.
He's like the ultimate Jekyll and Hyde guy because he can sometimes make good passes. And then like the very next one, he'll sail a ball by like 6 yards that a receiver was wide open. You know, like the ultimate thing you used to see from Joe Flacco was on Sunday. God bless him. We talk about Michael Nani a lot on here, but he had like the one shot there was like a wide open Garrett Wilson, a wide open Corey Davis around like, you know, right up in the middle. And then there was option C, which was sailing it past both of them through the back of the end zone. And that's what Flacco did. It was like,
is that the one where he hit the goalpost?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's the one. And then Eli Apple like jumped on the goalpost and like slid down because why not? Nick, I know you have enough to talk about with Eli Apple, but I also have a big old beef with Eli Apple because, you know, he cost me some money in the Super Bowl. So, you know, granted he was up against Cooper Kupp, but that I placed more on the scheme. Anyway, I'm excited Zach's back. That's a long story short. I'm excited to see him play. I'm a little worried. I'm like a dear old dad, just worried that his son might go out there and get hurt again. But let's hope that's not the case.
Nick?
I've been a Zach guy. I'm very excited to see him get back in there. They actually gave him a decent complement of skill position guys. The offensive line is a concern. They're going to have to be creative with how they use him. And coming off of a knee, I'm imagining he's going to be a little hesitant to be mobile. So already off.
No. He said he wasn't going to be hesitant. You have to
he believe. He said all systems go. He's not even wearing a brace.
He's not wearing no sleeve, no brace. And he said, I'm not even going to hesitate. So when somebody says something like that, I mean, especially in sports, you're going to believe him.
Hey, man, I heard a lot of that. I heard a lot of that from Saquon last year, and this is the first time he's actually looked like Saquon for the first time in like 2 years. That's a mental thing. Do you trust the knee to move the way you want to? I mean, he got hurt on a non-contact injury, so he plants the wrong way. He might be worried about it. That's one of those things you don't really think about. But yeah, this is going to be a very interesting test of can they find ways to use him more creatively than Flacco, because Flacco is a statue back there. Zach's mobility is supposed to be part of his upside. So if they can do creative things with him, move the pocket around a little bit, that would be encouraging.
I mean, how many times over the last 3 weeks have we seen Flacco get sacked because he can't move?
Right.
Yeah.
Too many times. At least half of those sacks were because he just is immobile.
He was sacked four times on Sunday, and
it's like watching Tom Brady. It could have been two. Watch him run. Like
it could have been two. Like it,
yeah, I mean, he looks like a wounded animal when he's running. You know, so I understand that, like, it's not like Zach's like Lamar here. It's not Lamar mm-hmm. Jackson here, but he's definitely mobile. And like you, like part of what like LaFleur and Saleh and Joe Douglas love about him and what they like planned on doing with him was a lot of like rollouts and getting him in space. And, you know, I mean, some of his best plays that he's had as a pro so far have been when he's in space and he makes something happen with his legs. That's just who he is. And that's what he did in college at BYU too. I'm ecstatic. I can't wait for him to be back. I think that the Jets could be 2-1 right now if they had him. I think that they would have been in that Baltimore game for sure. I think that they would have absolutely been in this Bengals game with him. Now, I could also look like a gigantic moron come next week. Here's me, fingers crossed. That, I don't root for injuries, but I really hope that for some reason Minkah Fitzpatrick doesn't play this week. You know, whether it be injury or like, you know, like he just doesn't feel like playing.
Day off, day rest.
Yeah, it's
Derek Rose's himself. He just doesn't show up for a game.
It's just no, it's the Lord. Yeah, or that. You know, but it's the Lord's Day. So I think that we all just need to like, you know, I think he should like realize that like how much Zach Wilson loves God as a Mormon, and just, you know, take the day off. You know, that's all we need. That's all we need. So yeah, I'm very excited about Zach Wilson being back. I think that it's going to be very good for this offense. It's going to be good for Elijah Moore, somebody that he loves to throw to. I'm interested to see if CJ Uzama wants to show up and
had a first catch on Sunday.
Yeah. So let's see if Zach can get him involved, because we know that he's very talented and he can, you know, help with this offense. Tyler Conklin's been fantastic. I think you said before we got on, before we started recording, he had 80 yards. Now, you know, I don't want to steal your stat from you. I don't want to steal your stat. You can say the stat, Nick.
Yeah, no. On Sunday, Conklin was the first Jet tight end to have 80 yards receiving in a game since 2008. It's been a while since the Jets have had production at the tight end.
Yeah, position. Since Dustin Keller, whose jersey I own, I wore his jersey to the Jets game in week one, actually. I wore that jersey.
Nice.
Oh, I forgot to bring my Revis jersey home. Ah, that sucks. I have my Jamal Adams jersey sitting in the closet, and I'll never see the light of day.
Yeah, I just gotta like get rid of that now.
Yeah,
you might have to do a séance on that.
Yeah.
That, maybe that's why I've had such terrible luck with my sports teams of late. I mean, I think that's always been the case, but maybe it's just making it even worse than it already is. I just haven't got rid of that jersey yet. But we'll see. I don't know. All right. Other news and notes. Any final thoughts on Zach Wilson coming back? We're all just very excited and happy that we get to finally watch our young gunslinger sling, right?
Pretty much. I'm excited. I think if we get a call, I think it's Brian Gumbel going to be doing play-by-play on Sunday. If we get a Brian Gumbel saying, "And there's Wilson to Wilson for the touchdown," I'm going to elevate to just like another plane of existence.
Wilson
to
Wilson is something that we've been waiting for.
It's like it's just going to be like, you know, I'm gonna be like that SpongeBob meme of him, like,
yeah,
like that's just gonna be me. And it's also like you said, I mean, Elijah Moore hasn't not done anything so far. I mean, he had 49 yards and four receptions on Sunday, and he basically had similar stats in the first two games as well. I think Wilson loves throwing to him. I think so. He'll get a lot more involved, and as teams have now figured out how good Garrett Wilson is, that he's definitely going to be much more involved, you know, as a true, probably we still don't fully understand Garrett Wilson and if he'll truly grow into a wide receiver one. I think based on what we've seen, he's certainly on that trajectory, but if that's the case, then Elijah Morris kind of lines up as that number two guy. We'll be in great shape. And if Corey Davis, whenever he wants to catch the ball, just like pop in, you know,
he's no Kenny Galladay, but
nope. Yeah. Oh, Kenny.
He's more reliable than Kenny.
Oh, Kenny.
You're more reliable than Kenny Galladay, Jesse.
I have a wide receiver the Giants could have. I think that Denzel Mims would fit perfectly.
Connor so Rogers, relax. Take a deep breath. Go back to the drawing board. I'll give him this. He knows exactly how to rile up the Jet and Giant fans better than pretty much anybody. And it's not like boring like Vacchiano, where it was just like blatantly being wrong on purpose and pure parroting whatever the Giants want to. Connor genuinely knows how to get under people's skin. He really does.
He really does. I love it so much. I have his notifications on for Jet stuff, and I get Giant stuff all the time now. And all my friends I grew up with, there's 10 of us, only 2 of us are Jets fans. So 8 of them are Giants fans. And I just send them Connor's tweets all the time. Like, just like, not even the point is to troll, obviously, and to get under their skin. But it's not even like I just send them all the bad stuff, none of the good stuff. And so, you know, actually, I'll send them a good tidbit here and there every now and then, just to, like, you know, continue to feed and be like, oh, like, he's just sending us everything. But, you know, I just send as much as I can to just, you know, slowly, like, make them feel even worse and worse about their football team.
Connor he's an expert at that.
Yes.
You know? He's been helpful. Yeah. I also love that. I don't know. I mean, I doubt you do, Nick, but Jesse, do you ever watch the pre or post game SNY?
Yeah, Gelbs. Yeah.
Did you see on Sunday, because Connor Rogers is on it now, and, you know, he's a short king. He's like 5'6", 5'7".
Yeah.
When Bart and Willie were like roasting him because his feet weren't touching the floor.
No, I didn't. That's amazing, though.
Yeah. I felt so bad. Like, even Gelb's off to the side, just like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Stop making fun of the new guy.
That's incredible. All right. Well, let's move on. That is very funny. Goddamn. Oh, poor guy. We're fans of his, though. He's come on the show before. He's a nice guy. Mm-hmm. All right. So here's the bad news, gentlemen. You ready for the bad news? I gave you the good news that Zach Wilson's back. The bad news is that we've lost another tackle. George Fant is on the IL. It's bad. Bad news bears in Florham Park. The Jets have now signed Cedric Ogbuwe and Mike Remmers.
Mike Remmers, yes.
Chiefs legend, Mike Remmers.
Yeah, 90 career starts. I mean, I feel like he's probably got more left than, like, McDermott, right? Like,
do you not remember the Super Bowl 2 years ago?
Oh, he got badly beaten, didn't he?
Yes, he was one of the Chiefs tackles in the Super Bowl against Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay won that Super Bowl because they pass rushed the hell out of Mahomes.
Awesome.
Yeah, Mike Remmers. Yeah.
Awesome.
All right, well, like, but he's got to be better than McDermott still, right? Like,
I mean, there's a reason he wasn't on a roster. I mean, that's genuinely the way you got to look at this. If you're bringing in guys off the street, they're probably on the street for a reason. If they had anything, a team that has needs like the Jets would have already had them in camp, really.
Right. Yes, he is literally coming off the street. He was not with a team this preseason. I mean, yeah, guys, this is bad. This is just This is just not good. Very bad. I don't know. I mean, I guess Zach's knee better be healthy, right? Like, that's
Zach's,
all I have.
Zach's knee better be healthy. Mike LaFleur better be drawing up a whole lot of runs for not even Zach being healthy, and the fact that they're just, you know, they don't have a left tackle anymore. They just need to.
Need Wayne Brown back. Like,
Carter
bad.
And Breece Hall just need more reps. They just need to run the ball more.
Yeah, this is one of the things I want to talk about in regards to the Bengals game. Is just they ran the ball pretty effectively, but they got away from the run because they were down 2 scores, and it's what let Cincinnati tee off. They were rushing 5 pretty much, pretty consistently, and there was no threat. And when they started running, I mean, they were pretty good running the ball. I mean, the box scores aren't pretty, but the touches they gave Carter and Hall, they were effective.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm looking at it right now. Breece Hall had 8 carries. He was averaging 4.9. You know, he was like, but 8 carries, and then that's the problem. It's like you just said, Nick. It's like they're playing. You start understanding why they're throwing the ball so much is because they're playing from behind practically the whole game. You can't run the ball and you're behind by that much, so you're forced to take Joe Flacco and make him throw 52 times in a game. But if you don't do that and you run the ball early in the game when it's still close, that might not be the case. You know, Michael Carter still doesn't have a touchdown. Breece Hall has a touchdown, but it was a receiving touchdown. Yeah, they got to ease Zach into it with now he doesn't have, obviously, like we said, doesn't have a left tackle, or rather he's on his fourth or third left tackle at this point. You know, Becton, Fant, Dwayne Brown. So, yeah, fourth. Dwayne Brown should, I think, come off IR after the Steeler game. So maybe we'll see him week five. But, yeah, so it's got to be a whole lot of runs. It's got to be a whole lot of short passes, and it's got to be a whole one that you're rolling them out to the opposite side. So we shall see, I guess.
We shall see. I'm looking up right now. So I'm pretty sure Flacco set a record.
For pass attempts?
Currently, he's on pace to absolutely destroy the pass attempts record in this one single season. The record is currently 727. He's on pace for 878.
He's having a Westbrook-type season. He's 100% usage rate.
Like,
I got this, guys. Me, Cool Joe. I got this.
I'm trying to find it. Like, it was Joe Flacco is the first NFL player, and this is Pro Football Reference. The first NFL player in a database to have more than 150 pass attempts over the first three games of the season. That's NFL history. Nobody has ever thrown as many pass attempts in three games in the first three games of a season than Joe Flacco.
And not
it's
Raven.
So wrong.
Like
it's so wrong. It's so
I mean, I understand, like, partially, like, LaFleur is kind of, like we were saying, boxed in. You know, he's limited with his playbook. He can't do anything mobile. He can't do anything like those, you know, crazy trick plays that they did in, like, the Dolphins game that requires your quarterback to be able to outrun, you know, linebackers. Uh-huh. And if a defensive back is coming and blitzing, can't do that with Joe Flacco. You can do it with Zach Wilson. And then he tried to do some stuff with, like, Berrios on, like, end-arounds, but whatever they did try – the Bengals
it was
them.
Telegraphed.
Yeah.
Because Berrios was only in the game for one or two plays on offense, and that you assume he's getting the ball those two plays he's in the game. It's just it's giving away what you're doing. That was really the issue. That's really an issue they have, because the Jets have a lot of good skill guys. They just got to find ways to get them the ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, I mean, say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven different guys caught passes on Sunday.
That's not a bad thing.
That's really good. And then if you include, I mean, Berrios was targeted once in the past game. So that's eight different guys. That's great, you know? And then when you, like, yeah, Michael Carter had one, Uzomah had the one, but, like, yeah, that's a really good thing.
And but if Flacco's, like, average.
Sunday and Zach's doing that.
This is what I was going to mention, Jesse, was that Flacco had five completions of more than 10 yards in a game. He had 52 pass attempts.
Yeah, his average completion was 5.5 yards per attempt.
Right.
Check down kick. And he missed a bunch of them, too.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he was sacked
four times.
He kept
bumping the ball up to Breece Hall, and I was just like, dude, you got to look down the field. Like, I understand these guys in your face. You got to give it a shot here.
It's ridiculous. Jets fans and Giants fans love blaming the offensive line. Have you looked? Did you look across the field? You know what that guy? Did you know what that guy has dealt with? I'm serious. Do these moron fans understand what Joe Burrow has dealt with the last year and, like, change? It's the worst offensive line in football, and he took them to the Super Bowl. Okay, I understand that they have T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd and Jamar Chase, and they have Joe Mixon in the backfield, and they had Uzomah. All right. Doesn't matter. The Jets have plenty of weapons too. They actually have Uzomah, right? They have him also. And they have Garrett Wilson, who is, like, our young stud receiver. They have a guy who could stretch the field like T. Higgins and Corey Davis. And they have a guy who's better than Tyler Boyd in Elijah Moore. And then you have add Tyler Conklin. You have two guys in Breece Hall, Michael Carter, that can do everything that Joe Mixon can do. And the offensive line is just as bad. What's the difference here?
Okay, two things. I can actually answer this question.
Yeah.
Number one, Burrow is the best quarterback in the league. When you blitz him, he likes pressure because that means he has man coverage on the outside, and he's really good at getting the ball out quickly. And they conceptualize it, they do a lot of design boots and rollouts where the pocket's rolling one way, so Burrow only has to evaluate half of the field. He can get the ball out faster because he only has to look at two targets. I mean, they must have ran four or five of those whip routes, seven routes, whatever you want to call them, to Ja'Marr Chase just because it was man. It was get the ball out quick, let the receiver make the play after. I mean, that first drive of the game the Bengals had, a bunch of those 5-6 yard completions, get the defense a little bit off balance, and the Jets kept sending pressure, and Burrow said, okay, it's man. That means all my receivers got to do is beat someone, and we should get this completion pretty easily.
Oh, that jailbreak that we sent.
On the touchdown?
On the touchdown was just, first of all, like, what was Whitehead doing?
He like, whiffed.
Just wrap he up, whiffed. Dude. No, he didn't even whiff. He hit him. He made the hit.
He bounced off of him. And then
he bounced right off of him.
He was a 13-year-old playing Madden. He went for the hit stick instead of just taking the safe tackle, trying to break up the pass.
He tried to do the hit stick, and his thumb, like, slipped off the stick.
Yeah.
Like, that's what happened, essentially.
Yeah, and you can't be doing that in man. When it's man like that, you can't be going for the big hit. You're the last guy. He was the last defender. You got to keep him in front of you, live to fight another down. And that's been a real issue. I was reading about it.
No, continue. I'm sorry.
I was reading about it today. I forget which Jets blog was writing about it, but the Jets are still blitzing way too much for the type of personnel they have, and especially against Cincinnati, who wants you to blitz because they're going to get the ball out faster. Against the Bengals, you got to sit in that too high, rush four, and make them dip and dunk their entire way up the field. I mean, the Jets defense wasn't that bad on Sunday, aside from the big plays, the T. Higgins big play and the Tyler Boyd big play. That's 14 of the 30 points. I mean, this was a 20-10 game going into the half. This game was not over at halftime.
Jets were in this game the entire way. Like, if they scored in that final drive, you get an onside kick like they did the week before. Yeah. Now, obviously, that's not what you want to leave it to. But, I mean.
And it was two or three really stupid penalties.
Oh, God.
That wasn't a penalty. That was so ticky-tack. That actually made me mad.
And Burrow was already falling down. Yeah. He was already falling down.
They asked Frank Myers that day, I think, after the game, and he was just like, you could tell he wanted to say, just like, yeah, it was bullshit, but I can't say that, and all I can say is I got to be better. I know the rules, and that's what he said. And then we didn't see what Corey Davis did because the CBS feed went out, and they had to, like, pan it over to, like, a handycam as, like, the CBS, like analysts were telling us what was going on.
He grabbed
I actually liked that view a lot.
I'm not gonna lie,
I liked that view because you could see the whole field and it was still the traditional like field level ish like view like that we normally get, but like it was wider shot. That was kind of nice.
What exactly did Davis do?
He grabbed Eli Apple's face mask. They were in each other's faces arguing with each other, and he grabbed him by the face mask and pulled him closer to him.
So
and they were driving, like they were very near the end.
Yeah.
They were close.
Dude,
and then
so
that
like,
all right,
we're
right out. Like,
we're fully into the Bengals game now, which is where I was going to transition us to next anyway. Yeah. But like, if you look at the scoring summary, for example, it's four field goals. There are four drives where the drives just die. And you mentioned, so what you mentioned before, Nick, was a really good point about Joe Burrow and how the Bengals are aware of what his strengths are. And that he's really good against the blitz. And if you can get him on the design rollouts and you cut the field in half, then he is very good at diagnosing what's going on. Joe Flacco, like the Jets should know. The Jets should know that like what they have is a bad offensive line with great weapons. It's very similar to the situation that Joe Burrow has.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Joe Flacco is not Joe Burrow. Right? We're all on the same page here. Like he is just like they're not even close. Like never in Joe's like I know understand Flacco had that great playoff run, but like he's never been viewed in that lens that Joe Burrow was viewed on as like one of the seven best quarterbacks in the NFL, right? So I'm trying to get inside the mind of this coaching staff, right? Because there's the play calling with Joe Flacco, right, is all over the place. LaFleur is very hot and cold this year, and it doesn't seem like they maybe they did understand what they had, but they just were trying to do what they would normally do with Wilson, and they were trying to feed it to Flacco, and it just wasn't working, right? But on the defensive side of the ball also, like, they have to understand, right? Like, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills watching this and listening to this conversation that we're having, like, how do they not understand like that Joe Burrow is like really good at the things that they're actually like they were actively doing in the game. Like, why are we sending that blitz on third and eight? Right. That was a major turning point in the game right there. It was 7-6. Right. It was at the end of the quarter. So like you switch sides of the field and you just like at the end of the quarter, it's not the end of the half. You're not going to the locker room, but it's still like a turning point of the game. Like you're like, all right, like we're on the next quarter. It's you're on the second quarter now. And at the end of the first quarter, you're like, Jesus Christ. Like that's how we end the quarter. Like, right. A 56 yard touchdown to Boyd.
It was incredibly deflating.
It was so deflating. It was so deflating. I guess my question is there any, should we be starting to get worried about this coaching staff? Like, is this Ulbrich's defense or is it Saleh's defense? And do we have to be worried about Saleh? Is LaFleur not who we thought he was? But I guess that's my main question here. Because these are really easy things that like we're figuring out and we're not geniuses when it comes to football here. We just love the sport and love to talk about it. And like, if we're seeing this, like they have to be seeing this, right?
I would say, I mean, I think the biggest thing right now with the defense, and people have been picking it out, is Saleh's like insistence on the rotation and keeping and moving guys out. Like he's a hockey man, like he's a hockey coach, like getting guys off the ice. Like every, I feel like he's like,
we got a 12 man on the field penalty for that this past weekend,
which is nuts in this day. But he reminded me of the end of Miracle, where he's just like short shifts, like 30 to 40 seconds. Like that's Saleh's like mentality with these guys. And I think that was also part of the reason why Quinnen blew up on the defensive line coach on Sunday, was that he was basically just, why do you keep taking me out? And then Nani was posting clips too. He's like, Quinnen got a sack on Sunday, but like he was doing what Leonard Williams used to do all the time for the Jets. And I'm assuming he probably still does for the Giants. Obviously I don't watch as many Giant games as I do Jet games, but he was like an expert at getting in there, creating pressure. He might not always get the sack, but he's going to throw that quarterback off balance. But Saleh's like kind of scheme is like to keep bringing guys in and out. It's why like Nathan Shepard and Sheldon Rankins and these guys, like, and that's not an indictment on them, but it's like why these guys seem to be playing more than, you know, sometimes playing more than Quinnen or John Franklin Myers or guys that we know are very good and can get to the quarterback.
No, it is an indictment on them. It should be an indictment on them. We know that they're not as good as the other guys that are in the rotation. Mm-hmm. The best guys should play. And yeah, they're going to need a breather every once in a while. They're going to get tired. But like, honestly, like I think that it should be Jermaine Johnson, Quinnen Williams, John Franklin Myers at second D tackle position. And then you put Carl Lawson on the other side. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And then when somebody gets tired, you get a breather and you bring the next guy in, and then they get back right on the field afterwards.
Right.
They're paid millions. Quinnen Williams, like Carl Lawson, these guys are being paid money.
Right.
Big money.
Quinnen's on his fifth-year option. Carl Lawson's obviously on his big deal.
And then Quinnen's going to get re-signed. He's going to get a big contract. Put them on the field, man. What are we doing here?
I know. That comes down to a scheming thing. You know, I think Ulbrich is going along with what Saleh wants. I got to think they're in the room together. Ulbrich is, you know, Saleh's not a my way or the highway type of guy. He's never struck me as that. So Ulbrich's definitely agreeing with him, and they're going back and forth on it. There's just got to be some maneuverability here. Keep your best guys on the field. You're not taking Sauce off the field, you know. They had to at points, like after, you know, he's going up against Chase the whole game. But, like, the guys that are rushing the quarterback, those are guys you got to keep on the field. Like, if especially the ones you know that are getting there. It was driving me nuts, and it's driving the players nuts. So
he was spoiled in San Francisco. That's something I think a lot of Jet fans. The Jets have good pass rushers. Quinnen is a good pass rusher. Franklin Myers is a good pass rusher. Neither of those guys is Nick Bosa. Neither of those guys is DeForest Buckner. In San Francisco, they were running And basically a 7-8 deep pass rush where they could take the entire first unit off, bring in that second group, and still be able to generate pressure because one of the elite guys was still out there. And they're still trying to do that. And that's a mentality thing of, well, if we keep our best pass rushers fresher for more of the game, they're going to be able to have a greater impact in the fewer stints they have. But that's also counterintuitive to Jesse's point of, well, I want the best players on the field as much as possible. I'd rather have them for 70% of the plays at, you know, 80% efficiency as opposed to 65% of the plays at 80%. Like, is that little bit of a difference in efficiency or performance worth taking them off of the field those extra plays? That's a real that's a real discussion I would like somebody to ask one of the coaches about.
Right.
This is a real problem. This and is a real thing.
Yeah, you got to remember that the guys on the line, the guys they're going up against to try to get to the quarterback, those guys aren't coming off the field.
Yeah.
Those guys are getting more tired than the guys in defense. So, yeah. And guys like Clemens and guys like Carl Lawson are big dudes, but they're also faster than a 300-pound offensive lineman. If that offensive lineman's getting tired, he can get around him, you know?
Yeah. Because this is one of those clear-cut ways where this is something that a coach doesn't have to bullshit you on either. They can. This is something they can give you a straightforward philosophical answer on. Just like, why do you like to implement a pass rush rotation? And this is something that we don't get good explanations for. These are very clear-cut, simple things because the Jets defense hasn't been horrendous this year. I mean, the pass defense has been okay. The big plays have killed them, but the run defense has been great. They're giving up like 3 point something a carry. I think 3.2, 3.3, something like that. They have one of the best run defenses in the league, and you can work with that. And you've got good corners and okay safeties. The defense should be playing better than it is. I understand your frustration.
Yeah, no, it is frustrating. Like, we have a guy who's 5'8 playing free safety right now.
Let me just say, thank God
what
that
are we
Sauce,
doing?
Thank God Sauce exists.
I know.
Sauce, dude, that game
game would have been so much worse without him on Chase.
That's we got 10 years of Sauce, basically.
Yeah.
Like, that's like and how, Chase, how I feel.
Chase wouldn't have had that touchdown if there wasn't like that miscommunication, you know, on the goal line, which happened.
And that's another
in the Cleveland game.
That's another thing that like these players are like. Like DJ Reed said after the game, is like, yeah, like we got to talk to the coaches and get on the same page because like these communications, like miscommunications, need to stop. That's something that the Jets have not had in a while, by the way. Veterans who have played on winning organizations that know like how to stop the bleeding, and we need to see it this weekend against the Steelers, which is what I want to transition to. I think we're all done with the Bengals, right? I mean, like we understand why they lost. We understand what they could have done better. I think that a lot of it had to do with Joe Flacco, the total offensive philosophy of that game and the big plays. So let's move on to the Steelers, because this is a game that I genuinely think the Jets can win. I'm starting it off with that. I genuinely think the Jets can win this game. The best defensive player in football, in my opinion, outside of Aaron Donald, is TJ Watt, and he will not be playing in this game. That is just an absolutely enormous win for the Jets, because he would destroy this offensive line. It wouldn't be fun. Like, this game would be over before it started, simply because of him, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. This offense would get nothing done because of that. And TJ Watt makes everybody else way, way better on the Steelers. Actually, I want to go. Who are the? So, do they still have Bud Dupree? Is that their other?
No, Bud Dupree went to Tennessee last year. He got a big payday
last year. So who are their other pass rushers that they have? I mean,
they have Cam Hayward still. Yeah. They still have Cam
Hayward, who's one of the best in the league. I'm looking up their depth chart right now. So they have Devin Bush, who's more of an inside linebacker. So they play a 3-4. Okay, so they Larry Ogbujan, Ogunjobi, Montrevious Adams, and Cameron Hayward. Then they have Devin Bush, Miles Jack, Alex Highsmith. Yeah, so Minka's questionable. I was kind of like messing around before, but like if he's out, that's huge. Because he'd be the best player in the field whenever he's on the field. And it would just make everybody else's jobs much easier. Nick, I want to start with you on this one as the outsider, right? Are we being ridiculous thinking that the Jets can have an actual chance of winning this game?
Not at all. The Steelers' offense is horrendous. Mitch doesn't throw the ball more than 10 yards down the field.
He can't throw left either.
He cannot throw left, yes. If the Jets can keep everything in front of them, if you make Mitch Trubisky lead a 15-play, 80-yard drive that eats up 8 minutes, you can live with that because they're not going to have a lot of possessions in the game. If they dimp and dunk their entire way up the field, you live with that. If Mitch beats you, that's fine. You can live with that philosophically. Make the quarterback beat you. Sit in that too high look that Trubisky's not going to be able to throw against. Dare them to run Najee Harris behind that bad offensive line. The Steelers' offensive line is almost as bad as the Jets. The Jets have a good run defense. Dare them to run the ball or dare Mitch to dip and dunk their way down the field. I think the Jets can hang around in this game. I mean, we've seen Mitch be pretty much totally ineffective through 3 weeks. I know the Steelers won last week, 2 weeks ago, but this offense, the Steelers nothing to write home about. The Jets have, with the way the injuries the Steelers have, the Jets have about as much talent as the Steelers. That's not bullshit. They're not that far apart talent-wise. It's just Mike Tomlin is a very good coach, and Robert Saleh is to be determined as a head coach.
Yeah, it's not looking up for him, but... I'm with you. I agree. Connor, what do you think?
I'm with you, Nick. And if there's ever a sign that things might be on the upswing for the Jets is that the line's only 3.
Yeah.
It's only -3 for the Steelers.
Yeah, so. But the matchup predictor, man.
Put it this way.
67.9% for the Steelers, according to ESPN's Football Power Index.
It's -3 for the Steelers at, sorry, not Heinz Field, whatever it's called now, but that's a big thing.
It's still Heinz Field to me. It's
still Heinz Field in my heart, you know. But yeah, that says a lot. And I think I agree basically with, you know, everything you were saying. I think I'm looking at like their receivers, no longer anything to really get all that excited about. Yeah, their best receivers are Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool. Sauce and DJ Reed will be on those guys. And then, like you said, you're forcing Mitch Trubisky to beat you downfield.
The one area that the Jets might have issues with is Jesse's boy, Pat Freiermuth, who's going to be up and down the middle of the field because the Jets linebackers are not great in pass pro and the safeties aren't the best of tacklers. So this might be the spot start Pat Freiermuth in fantasy week if you have him on your bench like I do. He's going to get touches. I mean, he's been getting 6-7 catches every single week because he's always underneath and Mitch loves him a check down. So that's really who I'd be most concerned with if I were you. Because like you said, maybe Pickens, because Pickens has flashed a little bit through the first 3 weeks. But the Steelers have guys, but the Jets secondary, the corners aren't bad.
Between DJ Reed and Sauce, like they're great as far as I'm concerned. And then who have they been bringing in for like slot?
Mostly? Michael Carter.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah, Michael Carter.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with both you guys. I think that this is important. This is an important game. This is a game that they're very capable of winning. And honestly, like, I kind of expect them to win. I think that Zach Wilson is like, why shouldn't I expect Zach Wilson to win this game? Right. Like, why? How could I? Have any faith in my quarterback? I understand that, but like I have to have faith. Like, I mean, how do I want to phrase this? Zach Wilson is supposed to be the guy. He's been brought in to be the guy, right? That was the goal when drafting him, second overall. So you bring him in, and he's played I think 12 games, right? Yeah. 12 games.
No, 13.
13 games. 13 games. This is just like opening up week one, basically. You're 1-2. You've won a game that you didn't expect to win. You should be 0-3, but you're 1-2. You're playing with house money right now. And you're on the road against a very bad team. I think that with the weapons that they put around him, we should be expecting him to go out and win this football game. If he can't, then he's not going to be the guy. I really think that. Now, I understand that it's just going to be this first game back in his second year, and it'll be his 14th professional start in football. But this is a game that you're not going to get a much easier matchup all season. You're really not. Like, if you go through the schedule, you're just not going to find many easier matchups than this. And this was supposed to be like the hardest part of the schedule. You play the whole entire AFC North, like right off the bat.
And we, but Jesse, you and I said before the season started, they can come out of playing those first 4 weeks against all four AFC North teams. They're 2-2. That's pretty good. That's something to, it's something to be excited about, you know?
Absolutely.
And when you consider that basically, like Nick, like I think what I was saying to you before we started, that apparently the Dolphins are like just the greatest team of all time. If you listen to the media, and I listen to my fucking asshole friend who's a massive Dolphins fan, between those two games and then two against the Bills, that's four losses. You might split with the Patriots. So then it's
Patriots,
like
the Patriots. The Patriots are even worse than the Jets and the Steelers.
Put it this way: they haven't beat a divisional opponent in like three seasons. So I'd like to see them beat one of them once. Sure. You know, sure. That's all I want to see out of the AFC East games.
If the Jets can go into Pittsburgh and Zach Wilson does what I want him to do, which is throw for like 250 passing yards with like 2 to 3 touchdowns, and just like one in the ground and two in the air, right? And he's like throws for like 60%. And we're like, wow, this is like something. This was good, right? Then we're 2-2. We're going to the Dolphins. I'm expecting a loss. I expect a loss against the Packers. I would honestly expect them to compete against the Broncos. I'm super down on the Broncos. Mm-hmm. I think we all are
at this point, yeah.
Right? And then you beat the Patriots, and then you're 500 against the Bills. You lose the Bills. You get back to 500 against the Patriots again, and then you have the Bears, the Vikings, the Lions, who are competitive, but like, listen,
those three teams are competitive. I mean, Bears.
This is all based off of if Zach Wilson can like be the guy. If he can't be the guy, then I'm expecting them to get five wins maximum this season, like maybe, and like that's being generous. But if he's supposed to be the guy that we expect him to be, yeah, you got to win the Pittsburgh and win this game. Maybe I'm being a little overreactionary, but.
It's not just him. I mean, they have to have the offense in reasonable situations. I mean, you make him consistently in those second and eights, third and nines, where the defense just gets to pin its ears back and go. I mean, that's why Flacco was dog shit on Sunday, was the Bengals knew the Jets had to throw on second and long and third and long. Pass rush, pass rush, pass rush. You got to make Zach's life easy. You got to get something resembling a running game going. And that shouldn't be difficult because the running backs they have are both good. You get that going. You get a couple easy passes underneath to kind of just get him in a rhythm. That'll be the biggest thing. I mean, that was kind of the biggest curve for him after he got hurt and then came back last year was the game looked a little bit easier for him. It wasn't as fast. Mm-hmm. He was able to go through his progressions. It's good. It's the first live action this week for the first time in 6 weeks. First real game in more than a year. You got to see him put it together. It's not just him, though. The offense needs to be there. And the drops were awful on Sunday. Yeah. Some of those were Flacco just kind of missing guys. But if it hits you in the hands, even if it's a little behind you, a little above you, and as long as you're not getting hit, you got to catch that. It's got to be caught.
You're a professional football player. That ball should be caught. They should. Listen, I understand. Maybe I'm being a little too, what's the word I'm looking for? Maybe I'm
demanding
too much. Maybe I'm being a little too demanding. Yeah, maybe I am, but I really don't think I am. I really think that at this point, I'm sick and tired of the excuses. Everything there's Joe Douglas has done everything that he's supposed to do in terms of bringing in the talent that he's needed. Like, you have Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, and Corey Davis are all three very, very good to like capable to good wide receivers.
Yeah.
You have two excellent running backs. All three of us are very high on. And honestly, the interior of the offensive line, it's been solid. It's just been the tackles.
The interior of the offensive line is not the problem.
And they've been moving the ball in the run game. It's just the lack of touches, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
I really think that. And I'm also like watching this team. Like, I doesn't make sense to me why we like drafted Breece Hall at this point, because Michael Carter is so good. And I know that Breece Hall is super talented, but it just feels like very redundant. And I'd rather have like just given Michael Carter the role and used that second round pick on something else, like a tackle or something, you know?
Yeah.
This is all in hindsight, obviously, because at the time I was like, oh, cool, like another weapon. And like, you know what? We have the weapon, so let's use him. But like, it doesn't feel like either of the running backs have been like able to get into a rhythm. And we haven't seen like a big like breakaway run yet from these guys who are, you know, can both be like home run hitting running backs. More so Breece than Michael Carter. But, you know, it just that was just a little sidebar I had there. But yeah, I know I'm being demanding, but it's time to see something from everything that Joe Douglas has put together. You finally have your quarterback. You have the weapons. I understand the tackles aren't there, but you know what? Justin Herbert just lost Rashawn Slater. He's still
Justin Herbert just lost Justin Herbert.
Justin, yeah. Herbert,
yeah. Justin Herbert lost Keenan Allen. Like the Chargers, as bad as our injury situation is, the Chargers are just like, offense is like completely dismantled, you know? But yeah, no, I think Jesse, you and I said it at least once or twice, probably after the draft, probably before the season started. The pieces are there for Wilson now.
Mm-hmm.
The pieces are there. He's got two running backs. He's like you said, he's got three capable to potentially great receivers. He's got a rebuilt tight end room. You know, he's got Conklin, who's proving to be very capable. Uzoma, who knows? They're just not getting it. The ball's just not coming his direction. And then who knows with Jeremy Ruckert? He was drafted in the fourth round. I think he'll start to come in eventually. And then, yeah, the pieces are very much there now. And I think when you look at towards the end of last season, when Zach started getting better, he had less weapons at that point. You got to think towards the end of the season, he didn't have Michael Carter. He didn't have Elijah Moore and he was playing better. I don't know. Did he have Michael Carter and Elijah Moore and Corey Davis in that Bucks game?
I don't think so.
No.
Right.
Berrios was wide receiver Berrios, one that week.
Right. Yeah. Berrios. I remember Berrios caught the touchdown and that was Zach's best game of the season. Yeah. That was better than the Titans game. The Titans game is the one everyone remembers. The Bucks game, if they manage to hold out and win that game, that's lights out. You know, that's by far and away his best game. That's the one everyone talks about. So the pieces are very much there now. Excuse time for him it's never going to be like Sam Darnold in season two, where we're just like, you know, he's no longer a rookie, but he still doesn't have the stuff. Is Adam Gase is his head coach? Like, Wilson doesn't have that, you know.
So let me ask you guys this, both of you this. Is that an indictment on the coaching staff if they can't produce something with Zach in this situation?
Absolutely.
Or is it a marriage of both?
I mean, to answer your first question, that was before you asked your second question. It was a marriage of both. It definitely is going to be a little bit on both, depending. I mean, like, you know, if Zach is just making ridiculously dumb throws and throwing the ball directly to the opposite team, then like there's only so much the coaching staff can do. But if Zach is playing well and, you know, we're watching and like the play calling is just killing them. If you're running the ball on if it's second and 10 and you run the ball up the middle, you're not doing your quarterback a service there.
Hmm.
Right. Like you're just not. And we've watched that with the Jets and the Giants for the last how many years, where they just run the ball up the middle on second and 10 and basically give up on the drive. And we're like, what are we doing here? What's the point? It makes me question why I even care about the sport when they do stuff like that. Cause like, I know punts are real in football, but that's a second and 10 run, like up the middle is basically a punt if you ask me. So, you know,
I was also going to ask, do you think they trust Zach? Are they going to give him the opportunity to make these make the kinds of dynamic plays that you guys think, and I think, frankly, that he's capable of making? Because they were obviously kind of scared of Flacco, even though they had him throw the ball 55 times a game. It was a lot of underneath dip and dunk stuff. I mean, like 5-6 pass attempts, more than 15 yards for each of these games. I mean, it was very clear that the offense, that they were scared of what Flacco would do if they let him sling it around, push the ball down the field. Are they going to be aggressive with Zach, or are they going to training wheels this?
Connor, I don't know what you think, but I think what are we doing if they have the training wheels still on?
I think, you know what I think that there is going to be playing in their head the first time he goes out under center is that first drive against the Eagles in the preseason.
No, roll him out on
when he went out, like, when he went out there and threw that ball, when he went out there and threw that ball right to that Eagles defensive back. And I don't know if they showed it or popped up maybe on Twitter later, where you could see Salah saying, I can't believe he fucking threw that ball. Like, that's probably going to be playing in Salah and like LaFleur's head the second, like the first time he goes out there. And
They shouldn't be.
I'm going to say that that's probably going to, that's definitely going to be in their head. It's probably going to be in Wilson's head. Let's be honest.
But like, just let him rip. First play.
I agree.
Play action, bootleg. Like, just like, let him like go and like, let him make a play. Like, I want to see this kid. I want them to unleash him. Like, just give him full control of the playbook. Not like control. Like, when I, like, give him full authority. Like, you trust him completely in every single package. And you just call a good game. Like, no limitations on LaFleur's play calling. I want them to use Zach Wilson in every way possible. I want them to just absolutely go for it. They've been talking playoffs all offseason, saying this team we think is good enough to make the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. And it's time, it's Zach's going to make a jump. And if he makes the jump, when he makes the jump, you know, we're going to make the playoffs. Let's see it then.
Yeah.
Let's see it. Let's see you actually trust the kid to make the plays. Because if you don't, then what are we doing? What's the point? Like, you're just playing for next season. Like, is that the plan? Playing for next season, and you're gonna like.
It's the third week of the season, and you're talking about next year already. Good lord.
This is the Jets. I'm not talking about it.
I'm saying, what are we doing? Like, if you're not gonna unleash them, then you're what are you? Then we're playing for next season. Is that what we're doing? That's the question I'm asking. Like,
I mean, that leads to what is your coaching staff trying to do? Are they being honest with themselves, or are they trying to not get fired? Because those are two very conflicting things where it might not be in this coaching staff's best interest to let Zach sling it all around. It might be in their interest to turn him into a game manager and be in every single game and buy themselves another season. These are the types of things you have to think about. That these are people with real situational emotions, and they have to be able to weigh, well, this might not be in my best interest, but it's better for the team. You don't know until they're in these situations, and you're going to learn a lot about what Salah, LaFleur, and Ulbrich are about this year, because if it goes wrong, and Connor and I were talking about this before you got on here, there's a real world where Salah's 2-0 if they go 3-14 again, if they go 4-12,
and then you know what, like, say that happens, are you keeping Zach Wilson?
Yeah,
that's the other thing. Connor and I were talking about that too.
You have to keep Zach Wilson. And you pair him with an offensive coach or something, like
Joe Douglas. Salah, to a degree, Joe Douglas tied his entire job to Zach Wilson.
Yes,
you know, he tied it wholeheartedly. You know, if Zach Wilson succeeds, Joe Douglas is here.
It sucks because I think that Joe Douglas has done a fantastic job with those. Yeah,
I think he has too. You know, he's given them the tools, and people giving him shit now for like not addressing depth on the left tackle position. What the hell did you want this guy to do?
There's six good left tackles in the whole league. They're on their
fourth.
Yeah.
Like, they're on your fourth. You can't just have like 1,000 left tackles take up roster spots on your active roster and on your practice squad. It doesn't work like that. So, and like you were just saying, yeah, there's like 6 or 7 really, really good left tackles out there. And there's a lot of like average ones. And then there's a lot of ones that guys do not want to put out there.
We have a lot of those guys.
We have a lot of those guys. We have Max Mitchell on the right side, who's arguably been pretty damn good. And, you know, for a guy that got drafted in the fourth round and was fourth or later round,
was supposed to be a project this year, not even play. Right.
And was like that position was, you know, thrust on him, has been pretty solid. You know, I don't know how solid he would have been on Sunday if he was going up against TJ Watt, but you know, something to be said for that, you know. But yeah, long story short, Douglas has done, I think, what he's needed to do to get the Jets in position. Now it's on Salah and now it's on Zach to execute.
Yep. All right. We're almost done here. I'm going to ask you guys one more question each. Nick, what is your key to the Jets? I don't want to phrase it that way. What would have to go wrong for the Jets for them to lose on Sunday?
They're behind the sticks the entire game. You got to be in favorable game situations and give Zach a chance. It's his first NFL game since January of this year. You need to get him in favorable situations where, like you were talking about before, first drive of the game, roll him out, let him hit somebody, first down, just get his legs under him, get some confidence in him before the game really gets going. It's okay if you're in this game, you're down a possession, you're down 10 points. You cannot let the game get away from you before the second half. If you are going into the half down a touchdown, that's fine. But you cannot let the game get away from Zach. You got to give him a chance in this game. Favorable game situation is the most important thing for the Jets. You can't be behind the sticks the entire game because the Steelers defense isn't the most healthy at the moment. That's still a well-coached defense. I mean, Brian Flores is in on that side of the ball for them, and that's an NFL head coach who's run good defenses in Miami before he got fired. They have talented guys on that defense, even if Minka and TJ Watt don't go for them. The Steelers are the best team in the league of just dragging games along, hanging around, and then one of their guys makes a splash play, forces a turnover, short field, take the game. That's it. The Steelers are going to end up 8-9, 9-8 this year with Mitch and Kenny Pickett purely on just good coaching. That's really the difference in a lot of these games. You got to have Salah not be an issue. You got to have LaFleur not be an issue. Give Zach a chance in this game. If they're behind the sticks the entire game, this won't go well. This will be another 55 pass attempts, 250 yards, one touchdown, two picks game.
Connor?
Yeah,
What are you most excited for with Zach Wilson this week, and what are you looking for the most with him? Is there something specifically that you're looking forward to seeing with him, or is it just the overall?
I mean, overall, but I'm also excited to see him work with the young guys, work with the kids. I'm making it sound like he's a veteran, he's one of the kids, but like, I want to see him play. I want to see him work with like Garrett Wilson. It's like we were saying once we signed on. I'm waiting for that first touchdown, Wilson to Wilson. I'm waiting for Wilson to Elijah Moore. Like, I want to see it. I want to see him and Berrios out there mixing it up. I want to see Berrios on like the sideline pull up his jersey and him. He's wearing the Zach Wilson is good T-shirt. I want to see that. You know, I want to get excited about watching the team again. You know, and I think I think you hit the nail on the head, Nick. Like, the more behind they fall, and the more pressure falls on Zach to make. Like to turn the game around through his, you know, through passing and stuff like that, the more pressure and the more he gets in his head, he's like this, everything starts crashing down on him. He's like, this team drafted me to be like their savior. I'm playing in like the biggest medium. Everything just gets, and he gets way too in his head and everything falls apart. And against a mediocre team. What happens when they're playing a really good team like Miami or Buffalo, you know, then you're in real trouble.
Yep. All right, let's get predictions, Connor.
I say Jets 27, Steelers 17.
Wow! All right, we're going for 2-2, Nick.
I think the Jets probably cover in this game. I hate myself that I'm thinking of actually betting real legal U.S. currency on the Jets. Probably not a good decision. I think. This is going to be in the teens. I think Pittsburgh wins, but I do think the Jets cover something like 2019, something ugly, something in that ballpark.
Yeah, I was about to say, it feels like an 18-17 kind of game.
A slugfest. Like,
yes.
That's where this game ends. So a
17-15 win or loss, either way, where the Jets kick 5 field goals.
No, it'll be like the Giants-Cowboys game on Monday.
Yeah.
It'll be like just like when did the first touchdown get scored? Like the end of the third quarter?
Yeah.
Or something like that. One. It might be something like that.
Oh my god, please, anything.
The Steelers like the games like that. They love the rock fights. It's how Tomlin keeps his job.
All right, folks. I'm gonna go 23-20 Jets. 23-20 Jets. I'm ready to get hurt again fully. Can't wait. I can't wait. Any final thoughts, fellas?
Go Jets. Go Zach. I just want
to go Garrett Wilson.
I just want to
Garrett Wilson.
I just want to see you succeed, buddy. We're all rooting for you.
We
all just want you to succeed, man. Think about it. Think about how cool the AFC East would be for the next 15 years if Josh Allen, Tua, Zach, fucking fuck you, Mac Jones, because I, I don't care about the Patriots. Like, they're forever dead to us.
Yeah.
So the AFC East would be really cool to watch for a while.
The more good quarterbacks there are, the better for everybody. That's always how football is. Yeah.
You know, and also a thing we got to keep in mind: Josh Allen wasn't really good till his third season. I'll just say that.
Oh, you're pulling that card out.
I'm just gonna say the historic and unprecedented leap that he took. I'm gonna just say it.
It's possible. It's possible.
Are you familiar with the word outlier?
Yeah, like outlier. The most outlier of outliers.
Yeah.
You know?
I saw Flacco was like right in the middle of the EPA chart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not a. That's not something we see every day with the Jets.
No, it's not.
All right, guys. Thanks for Nick. Thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it, Connor.
Always
fun as well. Where can they find you guys on social media?
Nick.
Oh, I was going to yield, but you can follow my Twitter at Nick Zararis. Nick Zararis. I do all the Gotham Pod stuff. I write pretty much about everything for Gotham. I've got a Rangers podcast, Liberty Blue Pod, new episodes every Monday in season. We're probably going to transition to a 2 episodes a week schedule. Lots of cocky content, lots of shit posting. I think I'm kind of funny. It's a decent follow on Twitter. Where can they find you, Connor?
I am at the NJ Mick. Why, Jesse?
Why is that, Connor?
Because I'm Irish and I'm from New Jersey. That's why.
Damn right you are.
For all those who don't know, Mick is a slur for about Irish people. So it's not something I should be proud of. And my mom really is not a fan of it. Because she was born in Ireland, so she has a lot to say about it sometimes. But sorry, Mom.
Maybe I should stop like publicizing that for you. You can find me at Jesse Finver on Twitter if you want to. Like Nick said, I think I'm funny sometimes.
I think we all think we're funny.
Yeah.
If you want to listen to any of the other Gotham Sports Network content, you can go to GothamSN.com, or you can find our content on Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, and Spotify. Anything else, fellas? Any final thoughts? Any final words you want to get in before I sign us off?
Oh, yes. I don't know if you heard it at the Met game last night, Jesse, but there was a group of people behind home plate who were doing a J-E-F-F chant for McNeil to the cadence of J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
I did, but I saw your tweet, and I was like, oh, my God, that's amazing.
I'm upset I didn't think of that first. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. All right, well, we'll have to start that chant in the playoffs. I can't wait. Mm-hmm. Folks, thanks for listening in. Go Jets. Peace!